Hi, this is Brian Papstein. Welcome to this presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series to help you get to know the views and opinions of the candidates for local offices. In this segment, we'll hear from Natalie Arroyo, candidate for Humboldt County 4th District Supervisor. Each segment of the Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now you get the chance to introduce yourself to our folks.
Wonderful. Well, as folks may know, I have served a couple terms on the Eureka City Council, but in addition to that, I bring experience as a Coast Guard service member. I'm currently an officer in the Coast Guard. I work for a local nonprofit as an environmental planner and natural resources manager, and then I teach at Cal Poly Humboldt. So I bring a diversity of experience in the local community with local institutions and federal government, local government, and the state in some way. So that's, you know, sort of who I am in a nutshell as far as my work experience. I also play roller derby, which seems to be one of the things that folks want to know about me. And, you know, I really hope to bring my diverse skill set to the work and to focus on housing, good governance, and transportation safety, amongst other things. So happy to be here today to talk with you about my vision.
Alrighty. You ready for the first topic area?
I sure am.
All right. The illegal and legalized drugs have influenced and changed Humboldt County's culture at all levels. What comments do you have associated with the influence drugs have had on public safety, the economy, and the overall health of our community?
This was a great question. I was excited to read this one. So, you know, I will say I think Humboldt County has a long history of drug use dating back decades, you know, and alcohol. So quite a lot of substance use. And I think, you know, some of it has to do with our distance from other urban centers and the fact that people, you know, come here to escape whatever they're, you know, leaving somewhere else. You know, there's a lot of people who came here to be part of the Back to the Land movement, to grow weed, and, you know, other people who use stimulants, who worked in the mills. And, you know, so I think there's a long history of that. But I've certainly seen it reach what I would describe as a breaking point with the opioid pandemic and crisis. And, you know, we're really seeing the impact on our community of, you know, all of the far-reaching impacts of opioid use. And that, to me, is unacceptable. So I'm all about cracking down on particularly the distribution of it. I think a lot of the, you know, the users are sort of victims of their own circumstances, but there's, you know, there's lots to kind of bandy about there. But when it comes to the impacts on our communities, I mean, I don't believe that we can allow the current situation to go on. So I'm happy to say that, you know, the city of Eureka, for one, has been part of a class action lawsuit that has, you know, proceeded to try to, you know, address the impacts of the opioid crisis in our community by bringing home some of those dollars to, you know, to see the impacts mitigated here. So
when you say the crackdown on distribution, what from a county supervisor's position, one of leadership and kind of guidance,
absolutely,
how would you get to the point where you could help to reduce or eliminate, well, not eliminate, but reduce distribution of drugs in the county?
Yeah, some of that is support for the Drug Task Force and other, you know, multi-jurisdictional efforts to crack down on, you know, distributors more so than, you know, perhaps the everyday people who are caught up in using. You know, I certainly think that people should be held to account. And I am, you know, being to some degree a federal regulator, you know, I believe that, you know, the federal regulation should be upheld in our community, you know, particularly when it comes to the impacts of opioids, which are so significant. I mean, you see the crime, you see the lives falling apart, the health impacts, and, you know, what it does to the ER. All of those things are, you know, are part and parcel of that problem.
Staying away from LSD and cocaine and some of the other drugs that are out there, I mean, the opioids have been referenced now three times in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that a particular fixation, that one area of drug abuse?
You know, I think that absolutely. I think the opioid issues with fentanyl and heroin, you know, it's just such an impact on public health. And, you know, certainly there's meth, there's cocaine, there's other drugs in the community, but we're not seeing them cause this cascade of effects the way that we are with, you know, heroin and fentanyl. So, you know, you have to focus limited resources, and I think that's where we should be focusing them.
Meth is really a scary one for a lot of us also. And maybe it's because it's been around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Have there been successful approaches to dealing with methamphetamine use and production that could be emulated? with fentanyl and opioids and some of the others, or does that template really not apply?
You know, that's something that I'd really have to sit down and talk with law enforcement in more detail about to understand, you know, more of the strategies that have been effective. I know the problem-oriented policing approach has been pretty effective to determine, you know, where are the houses where any kinds of hard drugs are being, you know, used and sold and distributed from. So, you know, taking a similar approach, I think, would be productive there, too. And I certainly think we should keep cracking down on meth. It's just, you know, where do we need to focus these resources? Those are the things that I see the impacts of in our community that are pretty far reaching.
New topic area.
Okay.
All right. What specific actions would you take to help local businesses survive the pressures of inflation, labor costs, and lack of interest in being employed in our area?
Yeah, this is a tough one. So I am, several of the organizations I'm involved with are struggling to hire just like everywhere else. So we've seen this really dramatic change in the economic development picture in our region. And I think you've touched on this, you know, really well here. You know, when I talk to local economic development experts, a lot of them, you know, are pointing to the lack of employees and the lack of housing, even, you know, as a means to attract employees to the area, as well as other, you know, community resources. So we're really in a different, you know, for so many years in my time in Humboldt County, I've heard about wanting to bring large employers to the area. And now it's almost the reverse problem, not to say that we don't need, you know, large employers in our region, but we certainly have what I would say is a dearth of good employees. And I think, you know, the pandemic has shaken some things up. We've seen what they're calling, you know, the Great Resignation. And I think that has touched us like it's touched everywhere else. But, you know, part of that to me is looking at, you know, why are people not seeking these jobs? You know, a lot of folks' priorities have changed, have turned inward towards family. They found more flexible work that'll allow them to work at home. And so a lot of, you know, employers in our area, their jobs don't allow for that. And, you know, we need to see that staffing. So I think some of it is actually attracting a need finally to attract people to the area to work. You know, so much of the focus has been around, you know, keeping our kids here or doing things that allow people to stay in Humboldt County. And now we're finally seeing the need to bring people from the outside. So that to me means, you know, housing. It means, you know, good transportation and a lot of the other community assets that go beyond just the work itself.
Housing certainly is a flashpoint word and concept, particularly in the 4th District.
Absolutely.
As there's been, you're familiar with some of the blowback on converting parking lots.
I sure am, very intimately familiar.
Yeah, and as well as having a lot of properties that seem to be available that just weren't of interest.
Yeah.
So as you look at housing, again, it's you're up at the 25,000 foot view as a supervisor.
Sure.
Are there techniques, are there ways to entice more housing, whether it's single family or multi-story, perhaps maybe not 8 stories, but multi-story condominiums, things along those lines that we haven't had the pressures for in the last 25 years.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are a lot of changes that we could make with regard to land use and zoning, allowing additional density, allowing people to trade their development rights in, you know, in less suitable places for dense housing, for, you know, density in more urban areas in our core. So, you know, those are some of the things that I think are doable in the near future. Now, whether we will see in the construction sector the desire to build and the, you know, the cost of materials being affordable is another question. So if we, you know, as government need to, where possible, subsidize some development of housing using state funds, you know, I think that's completely appropriate. And we're seeing a lot of funding come from the state. When it comes to housing, I also want to talk about permanent supportive housing and, you know, crisis care housing, which are designed to support people who need someone on staff all the time to essentially look out for their mental, behavioral, or physical health needs. So those are, you know, forms of housing that, you know, I think it's very visible to everyone who lives in Humboldt County that we have a lot of folks on the street who, you know, just putting a roof over their heads might not be enough for them. And, you know, I think we need to avail ourselves of those resources while they're available to meet our growing need there.
The mother-in-law units or the ADUs that have now been permitted in Eureka,
mm-hmm.
Are those, I mean, it certainly has the opportunity to change the character significantly, and you could argue plus, you could argue minus, but to change the character. Is that a better solution to new development? Or would you rather see that style as a way to, I guess infill would be the cool trendy word right now for that, as regards to developing just more inventory, more roofs, so to speak?
I think we need all of the above. So I would say we need dense, you know, apartment buildings where those are possible, especially when we have buildings that are in such bad condition that they just need to come down in our urban core. You know, I'd love to see more of that. As you know, the city of Eureka proceeded with that kind of development, or is looking to proceed with that kind of development on some of the parcels we own, because, you know, we basically had, you know, that to work with. We had the property we owned to work with. But in as far as, you know, infill throughout our communities, you know, our hope was that we would see more ADU development, more applications for that. We really haven't seen that in the numbers that we were expecting, and neither has the county. So, you know, we'll continue to encourage it. But one method to support that would be to create a financing program, because a lot of people can't get traditional loans to build an ADU. So I just built one for my mother in my backyard, and I was able to use other funding that I had available. You know, I couldn't have gotten a more traditional type of loan for that. So looking at an ADU financing program for the county is important. You know, we're certainly looking at that in the city of Eureka as well.
For parking and things along those lines for these additional units, it's tough to get on-street parking now in a lot of neighborhoods. If you mm-hmm. added this additional, is there an accommodation for that? Or are we talking about ADUs plus garages, plus long driveways, less grass?
I think it looks different for each property and each neighborhood. I mean, my neighborhood has certainly seen the impact of a lot of, you know, larger Victorians that have been divided up into multiple units, right? And, you know, then suddenly we have a lot of people parking on the street, and you kind of, you know, have to sometimes go around the block or around the corner. But I will say that, you know, depending on the property, where possible, I would love to, you know, encourage people to have off-street parking. But I don't think that you may be shocked to hear this. I think housing is a little bit more important than parking in this current moment in time. And so it's a tough trade-off. And I realize, you know, I have and drive a car. So I understand, you know, that it's a trade-off that many folks are frustrated by. But I think that, you know, when we have limited resources, that's the higher and better use.
You'd said about affordability for housing. I guess kind of as a final question in this area, would you be in favor of waiving development fees, hookup fees, things of that nature that can oftentimes add anywhere from 5 to 15% cost on a project?
I'd certainly be open to it. I mean, it's been tough in the city of Eureka because we have the same challenges with staffing and budgeting that anyone else does, you know, and we've been seeing, you know, the need to recoup costs for all the boring but important stuff like, you know, sewer and water and those kinds of hookups. And so, you know, when it comes to the utility hookups, I think that would be a tough one because those don't, you know, there's not a general fund that covers those. Those are enterprise funds and, you know, that pass their cost on to the ratepayers. So ultimately, you know, where we can waive fees or create incentives, I'm all about it.
All right. Last area for questions. If I had a handful of pixie dust, I love this question, and you could use it to address any one single issue in Humboldt County, as a supervisor, what would be the one issue you'd use it for, and what would be your hoped for outcome?
My handful of pixie dust would come in the form of like redevelopment dollars, bringing back some form of redevelopment to really turn around blighted properties. You know, we see so many incredible properties and so many historic buildings that just need the love. And, you know, whether those are housing or commercial or, you know, some other use, I think, you know, we desperately need to find the funds to incentivize the restoration of a lot of our neighborhoods and commercial districts.
And maybe some of those Victorians get back to being a Victorian house.
It would be lovely.
Now, redevelopment is one of those areas I think almost everybody universally says governor screwed up when he pulled that one out. Do you think there's any likelihood that that could come back if there was enough encouragement from local jurisdictions? Because I know everybody felt that pain.
Yeah, I'll certainly advocate for it. I think the types of funding that the state is looking to provide, meet some of those objectives. There's a variety of, I think they're more compartmentalized now. It's like now there's funds for housing specifically, or for parks specifically, or for, arts districts specifically. It would be great if those were, one program that was a little less siloed. But, I'm certainly willing to advocate for it. I have a great relationship with our electeds at the state and federal level, so I would be happy to go to bat for that.
Flexibility would be dandy.
Sure would.
We've come into the end. Is there any last comment or two you'd like to make?
It'd be a pleasure to serve the people of District 4. I'm all about community service and public service. And, I think your listeners should check out my information and see, they might find that there's more in common between me and their view of the world than they would think.
Thanks for coming by and participating, Natalie.
All right. Thank you very much.